Hello and welcome to the IRPP's Interview with the Author series. My name is Nicola Johnston and I am joined today by Dr. Keith Horner. Keith Horner is a former Department of Finance official with considerable experience in tax policy questions relating to retirement savings, child benefits, and measures for persons with disabilities. He has a PhD in economics from Carleton University. Dr. Horner is the author of a new study which assesses options for pension reform and recommends a modest expansion of the Canada and Quebec pension plans published by the Institute for Research on Public Policy. We reached Keith Horner in Ottawa today. Welcome, Dr. Horner.
Hello.
So to begin, you say in your study that the pension system has performed reasonably well in recent decades, but that there are strong signs it will perform less well in the coming years. Can you tell us why that is?
Well, the system's been has been developed over the last 40 years, and the good performance now is a product of that development, and that included the expansion of the public pension plans, the Old Age Security and Guaranteed Income Supplement, and the Canada and Quebec pension plans, as well as the expansion of employer-sponsored registered pension plans and the development of RSPs. But we're now shifting to a situation where the mandatory savings components like the public pension plans and the employer-sponsored plans are either static or declining in size, and there's more emphasis being placed on individual saving, voluntary saving in RSPs, and the new tax-free savings accounts. And that's the first point. The second point is that there's quite a lot of evidence that the returns from saving in individual plans, the effectiveness of it, is less than in the public plans or the employer-sponsored plans. And that's because they're small in scale, they have high administration costs, there's non-professional investment, and also people often don't save enough and don't save regularly enough. So that's really one big challenge. And then compounding that, the third thing is that the environment's changing in a way that's going to make it harder for people to save. First of all, people are living longer, which means a longer period to save for, and it's more expensive to provide a pension for that. And secondly, we're looking at an environment with lower rates of return than we've had in the last years. And so both those make it more expensive and will further challenge the ability of people to save.
And so can you tell us about the three types of options you assessed throughout the study and why?
Okay. The first thing is that there have been several commissions by provinces and also a number of other studies, and they seem to have come to a general agreement that because of these challenges that we face, we really need a new savings option, and it should be a large-scale, low-cost, well-managed plan. It could be either a defined benefit that promises a specific benefit or defined contribution. Those are questions, and whether it probably shouldn't be completely voluntary, but it could be either sort of automatic enrollment to encourage people in or else mandatory, and those are other questions, but that we need a new kind of vehicle. So I just looked at the basic options of that kind of vehicle. It could be a defined benefit plan on the model of the Canada and Quebec pension plans, or it could be a compulsory defined contribution plan as they have in Australia, or it could be, I'll call it a voluntary defined contribution plan, but one that it may have some automatic enrollment to encourage people, but it's not compulsory. So those are the three big options, and I looked at options that were all of similar size so I could compare the results of them.
Going back to voluntary savings, you note that the new TFSA might create some problems down the road for public pension benefits, the GIS in particular. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, the tax-free savings account is a tax-favored account like an RSP. But the difference is that the tax break comes at the end rather than the beginning. With an RSP, you get a deduction for the contribution, and then you pay tax on the benefits that you get out of the plan. The tax-free savings account, you don't get an upfront deduction, but the income you get out of the plan is completely ignored, both in it's tax-exempt, but it's also ignored for determining income tested benefits like the guaranteed income supplement for seniors and other refundable tax credits. And I don't think that the government really, when in introducing the tax-free savings account, fully understood what that ignoring the income could mean in the future. And I've done some simulation work looking at who should save with a TFSA versus an RSP, for example, and what happens if they do. And my results show that somebody earning up to quite a high middle income level of, you know, $80,000 or so would be better off saving everything in a tax-free savings account, you know, other than home purchase, and that they could build an income of $30,000 or so of tax-free savings account income, which is completely ignored for these income-tested benefits. And so they could end up qualifying for over $4,000 a year in today's dollars of GIS. And this could transform the guaranteed income supplement, which is a sort of welfare program for seniors, into something where over half of seniors were getting it and the costs had ballooned. And so that's my concern.
Huh. And so you recommend a national mandatory defined benefit pension such as the CPP, QPP enrichment plan. Why do you recommend going this route?
Well, as I said before, I looked, my main options were the defined benefit type plan like the CPP or defined contribution in which you put in money and then you get a pension that depends on how well it's your investments have done. And I first wanted to clarify that in the defined benefit option, like the CPP, that it's not a government benefit. It'd be a plan run at arm's length from government with no government backstopping, and it would be fully funded. It would, the benefits would be fully paid for contributions by employers and employees. There's really you can boil it down to two reasons that I think it's the best way to go. The first is that it promises to deliver the most secure benefits at the lowest cost compared to the defined contribution. A number of analysts have done simulations of the performance of a plan for a group of people given, uncertain investment returns over the future, and they find that a structure like the Canada Pension Plan or Quebec Pension Plans do the best. And the reason is that there is a pooling of risk. If there is another 2008, you don't immediately have the person who's about to retire losing half their savings. In fact, you can make any slight necessary adjustments to contribution levels and maybe to benefit indexing and share any losses over a whole population of people. And so you end up for any given person with a benefit that's much more secure than in a defined contribution plan. So that's the first major thing. The other thing is that if you have a nationwide plan like the Canada and Quebec pension plans, people are secure when they change jobs. They don't get trapped into staying with one employer because they're in a pension plan. And this is both good for their retirement savings and also good for the performance of the economy. People are free to change jobs and move around, and so that's good for economic growth. So those are the two main reasons: the secure, high benefits and low cost, and how it performs for the labor markets.
Thanks very much for being here with us today, Dr. Horner.
You're welcome.
Keith Horner is the author of a new study which assesses options for pension reform and recommends a modest expansion of the Canada and Quebec pension plans. The study is published by the Institute for Research on Public Policy as part of a series of pension-related studies under the Institute's Faces of Aging research program. These studies are available on our website at www.irpp.org.